I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm not seated today because I'm in pain, just to clarify. I'm seated today because I feel like my message lends itself better to a face-to-face level instead of a me up here, you down here level. Okay, so it's intentional. My knee's not hurting. My back's great. Everything's great. Don't worry. I'm good. If you can't see me, just kind of stretch around me. It's stretch around somebody. It's all right. So, do you know what this is? Yay. Hallelujah! It's the keys, baby. It's the key. One of the keys. Yeah, so grateful. We got the keys this week. We got a lot this week. I wrote it all down because there's too much to remember with this brain. We passed our fire inspection. We have our signed lease. We have the keys. We have an approved occupancy permit. Ooh, this was a banner week for logs getting unjammed. Banner week. And it was so funny because I reached out to the elders Wednesday night by email, because I've tried really hard to keep them in the know as quickly as possible. So Wednesday night, I sent them an email saying, y'all, that was before the occupancy permit actually came. And I said, thank the Lord. I told them everything that had happened, and we have the keys, and we're so excited. And one of them, whose initials are Roger Chang, wrote back and said, I wanted to work on Saturday. And I'm like, okay, I'll meet you there and bring the key. I'm good, you know. And then some of the other elders were like, we want to work too. So we actually had a group of elders. You know what I love about our elders? I love so many things about them. They petition the Lord for you. They pray for you. They cry for you. They rejoice with you and me. But, you know, when the rubber meets the road, they don't have any problem getting dirty and sweaty for you too. And so a few elders got together and a couple people they dragged along, you know, to help. And we did some work. Most of it was the guys who were working. I was working in my office, but they got a lot done already. But if you're available Wednesday at 1 o'clock, right?
10. We'll be there.
I know, but I would rather have them come at 1 with Ron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that. Yeah, Ron and Rich will be there. And so, because Ron knows what needs to be done is the bottom line right now. And we need a process, and we're working on getting that on a whiteboard. But anyway, so if you're available Wednesday at 1, they're going to work until probably 5 or 6, I would think. You can come and help then if you're available. If you're not available then, we're going to start at 9:30 on Saturday and have another work day. So we don't know when we're getting in for our first service yet. We're working on it, but some of it depends on how many people come out to work, obviously, and some of it depends on other factors, other companies we're working with to get internet going, because we need internet to have our service, you know. But next Sunday, we're going to have a walkthrough tour of the facility after church on Sunday. So if you want to come and pray with us, it won't be a long thing. It'll be a walkthrough kind of explaining what we're thinking is going to happen where in the immediate and then long term, and then pray a blessing over the building. And so if you want to join us for that, that will be next Sunday following service, okay? Any questions about the building? Any rejoicing about the building? You know, it was a hard row. It was definitely a hard row. Row, whatever you do, gardening or driving. It was a hard road for me. Probably a hard row for Rhonda. But every time I would start to get discouraged, I would remind myself that God has made it abundantly clear through this process that is his plan for us. And that was my only prayer when I met with the elders. You know, way early, I said, before we even had a place, I was like, I just need God to make it clear. Because if he makes it clear, I can be really confident in what his plans are. But if I'm like, is it this or is it this? Is it this? Then I have a hard time with that. He has made it really clear. When the city overturns an appeal that they've never done before, to my knowledge, that's pretty clear. So, anyway, I'm just excited about what God is doing. Some of you are so disappointed because Dave's not speaking today. I'm sorry. He's still not feeling well. He's battling an upper respiratory infection. It tested negative for COVID, but, you know, because of his lung capacity being what it is, I think it's harder for him to get well. So let's just pause and pray for him real quick. God, we lift up Dave to you right now. We thank you that Judy got over hers quickly, but we ask you to do a miracle in Dave's lungs. God, I pray that you would soften scar tissue and make it like fresh, brand new tissue again. That when he goes back to the doctor and they take another x-ray or whatever they do to find out what's going on with his lungs, that they will be amazed, because that does not happen with fibrosis in the lungs. It doesn't happen for it to get softer. But God, you are above it all. And you are fully, if you formed his lungs the first time, you can certainly form them again. And so we ask for a miracle for Dave. And I pray that even now he would know we're praying for him, and that he will feel the prayers coming his way, and that he will regain his strength and his full health very quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So next week he'll do, trusting that he's better by then, he'll do love one another. Of course he would do love, right? I told you. But the words one another are found over 100 times in the New Testament. So obviously God was telling us the value of living in community. Like, we can't do this alone. And so I'm kicking it off today with a message I'm calling Forgive One Another. No, is that it? Yeah, forgive one another. I have a bunch of points today, so I got confused on what my final point was. But anyway, I want to give you fair warning. I'll be in the book of Ephesians the whole time. So if you want to turn to Ephesians 4, that's the only place we'll be today, Ephesians 4. But I want to give you a warning. This is not a milquetoast message today. No, no guilt needed. No guilt needed, but just prepare for a steak. Okay? Steaks are different than milk. They take a little more time to digest. They're delicious, but they're harder to digest. Okay? But here's the thing. If we're going to live in community with one another, we have to have more than one layer to our relationship. Does that make sense? If I, as a friend to you, and you as a friend to me, the only thing we can do together is play a game, if that's the only thing we can do together, then we're going to have one layer to our friendship. And that's fine. That's fine. It's not a complete picture, though. If the only thing I can do with you as my friend is cry when things are going badly and never play a game, there's a problem with that, too. We need well-rounded community. If we're going to do this well, and if I believe if we're going to reach out to the people who God has already chosen to come to our new facility and join our community, we need to be well-rounded and be able to say hard stuff to each other too, not just soft, happy stuff. Does that make sense? Okay. So keep that in mind. Ephesians 4:32, it's the last verse of chapter 4, says this: be kind and loving to each other, forgive each other the same as God forgave you through Christ. So I have 3 points out of that short verse. First of all, be kind to each other. We need a reminder to be kind to each other. I need a reminder because sometimes I get peopled out. I don't know about you. I re-energize more alone or with a very small group than I do with a bunch of people. So sometimes I'm like, I've had enough. I saw on Facebook, I saw this picture of a license plate from Maine and it said, ew, people. Did you see that? I was like, yeah, I feel called out a little bit. It's not that I don't like people. It's just, you know, That's just, I have to tell myself, be kind. When I'm driving here and people are driving crazy, I have to remind myself, be kind. And more than ever, in our community of believers, it's important that we are kind to each other. I don't know why, but it seems easier to be kind to a complete stranger than it does to people you know all their quirks. And they get on your last nerve, you know? It's hard to be kind to people you live with 24/7 sometimes. You're like, really? Stop it. Just stop it, right? Be kind to each other. Point two, be loving to each other. Remember that love is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a choice that we make. It is absolutely a decision. That was probably one of the best pieces of advice I got in college out of all my classes. In the marriage and family class, he said, love is a decision. It is a decision. Well, I just fell out of love. No, that's not how it works. If it's real love, if it's Christ-like love, you don't, well, I'm just tired of the people at the church. They do the same thing all the time. Choose to love because they're choosing to love you too. And we all have quirks, whether we know it or not. We all have weaknesses. We all have challenges. So love each other. Point number three, forgive each other. There's 9 points, so settle in. I've talked quite a bit about forgiveness, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on forgiveness, even though that's the title of the message. But I do want to remind you that forgiveness, also like love, is a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not a, well, when I'm over this pain, I will choose to, maybe I'll forgive them in the future when I don't hurt anymore. No, it is a decision to forgive. It's to say that the sin, I'm sorry, it's to let go. It's to let go. It's to release the need for punishment or payment. That's a hard one, y'all. That's hard. Because if somebody really hurts you with their words or with their actions, you feel this internal rising that you want them to pay for how they've hurt you. You want them to feel the same amount of pain or more that you feel. But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, nope. It's actually to mark the sin paid in full. Now, that's what Jesus did for us. I would point to our cross, but we don't have it here. That's what Jesus did for us. He marked our sin, paid in full. Even though we weren't the ones who paid. He was the one who paid. So if you've been hurt deeply, you've been wounded in some way by a church group, by a church person, by a pastor, by anybody, the thing we need to remember is that when I forgive, I mark that paid in full. So what you're saying is what Jesus has paid and what I have paid is enough. I don't want to keep making anybody pay. I will absorb the pain and let Jesus heal me instead of wanting pain from that person. It's really that way. Here's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not a feeling. We talked about that already. Forgiveness is not to say the sin was okay. I used to think that. I really used to think that if I forgave someone, that was the same as saying, in fact, a lot of people now, if you say, I'm sorry, what do they say? It's okay. No, it's not. No, it really isn't. I tried to teach my kids and I tried to practice by example, instead of saying it's okay, saying I forgive you. And that's a hard thing to say because it almost sounds like you're somehow superior. I forgive you. And it's a hard thing to hear because you have to kind of eat a little bit of crow to hear it. But that's really the better response than, oh no, you're fine. You're fine. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciling. I've talked about this before. If we have something that in our church family that needs forgiving, I pray that it gets forgiven and there's reconciliation. But I also know in my own life that there are times when I have been able to forgive, but I have chosen not to reconcile with that person because there's other steps that need to be taken in addition to forgiveness. Does that make sense? And reconciliation really is a two-way street. It can't be done by itself, by one person, but forgiveness you can do alone, which is so freeing. So freeing. I mean, you need Jesus, don't get me wrong, but you don't have to have the other person you're forgiving to say, I'm sorry. You don't have to have that. You can do the forgiving on your own. It's not forgetting the pain. I used to think that too. Well, if you've forgiven, you've forgotten. No, 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 no. It's not forgetting the pain. It's every time you remember the pain, it's making a decision to say, nope, I forgave. Paid in full. Or there's new pain that has come up today from that action that happened. I choose to forgive today again for that. Paid in full. It's not the same as excusing the wrong. It's not. I believe this verse alone says a lot. We could probably spend 45 minutes talking about just this verse. But I felt like the Lord was saying to me this week, go back to the verses before this to get the full impact of what this verse means. I think in Christian circles, we have such a tendency to take one verse that feels good, that feels happy, and feels, I don't know, comforting, and we just extrapolate that out, and we forget all the stuff that was before it or after it. And I don't think that's God's intention. That's one layer in your relationship with God. And I think He wants us to have all the layers. And so we're going to go back. We're going to start in verse 17. Now, this is Paul writing, and he does not pull any punches. I don't know how we can so fully embrace when Paul says something nice, like be kind to each other, but we have a harder time when Paul says, stop it. Let's look at that today. And listen, I am not coming to you as if I have done all this and figured it all out. I'm a mess most days. Some days I just shake my head at myself. I go, Sandy, you need to get it together a little bit. So I don't want you to think that's why I didn't want to stand today. I really felt like I was supposed to sit because I'm not up here. Please don't put me up there. I'll fall down and get hurt and you will too. Please don't. Mm-hmm. This is a mom talking to you right now. This is a mom. Not even a quote pastor. I have something from the Lord to tell you. I warn you, don't continue living like those who don't believe. Their thoughts are worth nothing. But Paul, you're supposed to be kind. They have no understanding and they know nothing because they refuse to listen. So they cannot have the life God gives. They have lost their feeling of shame and use their lives to do what is morally wrong. More and more, they want to do all kinds of evil. I'll pause there. I believe that's one of the signs of sin or evil is that it's never satisfied. There's always a little bit more, a little bit further, it's kind of like drugs. You know, you take one and then it takes more to give you the same feeling that you had. Whatever. It's kind of like that. Sin is like that, I think. That's why I think he says more and more they want to do all kinds of evil. But that way of life is nothing like what you learned when you came to know Christ. I know that you heard about him, and in him you were taught the truth. Yes, the truth is in Jesus. You were taught to leave your old self. This means that you must stop living the evil way you lived before. Yeah. That old self gets worse and worse because people are fooled by the evil they want to do. Whoa. all of us are capable of being fooled by the evil we want to do. You must be made new in your hearts and in your thinking. Be that new person who was made to be like God, truly good and pleasing to Him. Point four is be the new person. Now, I don't know why I find this so intriguing, because we've been taught our whole lives that when you come to know Christ, it's all grace, and it is. I believe it is, 100%. And He makes you, through His grace, a new creation. But this passage makes it clear that I have some part to cooperate with. I have some part I'm supposed to play in this. I'm not saying I have to save myself. I don't believe that. I believe when you're saved, you will go to heaven. And I believe that. And I believe I am made new. The challenge comes in when I choose not to be the new person. When I choose to be the old person. And I think every single day, we are, every one of us, faced with that choice at one time or another. Do you want to be the old person, or do you want to be the new person? And then we get to choose. Wow, what a God that gives us free will and says, you get to be the new person. I think without the death of Christ on the cross, there wouldn't be an option. We would be a slave to the old person. We would be a slave to sin. But Jesus makes it possible for us to go, I want to be the new person in this. I really like the new person. That was one of the things I noticed about myself when I went to Bethel a few years ago for a conference, a Leaders Advanced conference. I felt like my best self there. And I don't know. Megan says the same from her experience from Worship U. I don't know if that place is just so bathed in the presence of God that you kind of get absorbed, or when you come, you're so hungry for the presence of God, you put all the other stuff aside and you lean into the new person. But I felt like I actually liked people there. What a concept! Like, I found myself going up, this is not my nature. I found myself going up and talking to complete strangers and enjoying the conversation, not feeling like, well, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? Because I just struggle with that. I do. But there, I was like my best self there. And sometimes now I remember that about myself and I go, okay, Sandy, be the new person. Just be the new person. Sometimes I think so much of the struggle is here. Well, I've never been an outgoing person. I'm really an introvert. I'm really those things in my core. But I think that's more of my old self than my new self. There you go. I don't think God made me to be shy and awkward. I really don't. I know He loves differences. I know He does. I know He treasures variety. I know that. All I know is my own experience. I stepped into something there that felt different, and I crave it now. I'm like, I want to be more like that. I want to be the new person in a lot of different ways. When I'm given a choice of not being 100% honest or being 100% honest, I want to choose the new person. You know? Verse 25. So you must stop telling lies. You must always speak the truth to each other, because we all belong to each other in the same body. When you are angry, don't let that anger make you sin. And don't stay angry all day. Do you ever get tired of being angry? This is why I can't watch the news very often. I'm serious. I just get angry. I stay informed, but not for little tiny segments. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Whoever has been stealing must stop it and start working. They must use their hands for doing something good. Then they will have something to share with those who are poor. 3 points from that segment. Tell the truth. Don't let anger make you sin. Use your hands to do good. But can I just say how much I appreciate that Paul has the freedom to say, stop it. Do this instead. Stop it. Do this instead. I feel like sometimes I don't have that freedom, and it's not because of you. It's because of something inside of me. I don't know. Like, I worry that I'm going to hurt you or offend you. And I just talk about nice things. And I just love that Paul said, stop doing this. This is not the new person. Because I think that's what this is. This next passage, he's describing what the new person looks like. Don't do this. Do this instead. Don't do this. Do this instead. Now, what he didn't say was, I'm going to stop loving you if you do that. What he didn't say is, you're off the team if you do that. You're no longer part of the group. You're shunned. Good old-fashioned shunning, right? He didn't say that. He goes, I want to tell you what the new person looks like so that when you find yourself doing something, you can easily and quickly identify old or new. I don't hear judgment in his tone. I hear the heart of a loving father to his spiritual children. And he just longs for them to walk in the fullness of joy that Jesus has. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm tampering around with the old me, there's not a lot of joy there. There's frustration and anger, and I can tell I'm not living up to my best self. I can tell. I think he was trying to help us see very clearly. Don't steal. Instead, work with your hands to do good so you can have some stuff to share with other people. You see, change your mentality from getting for me to giving. But it takes some hard work in the middle. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Don't be angry all day. He goes on to say that actually gives the devil ground in your life to give him full permission to do what he wants in your life. When you stay angry, what that does is it says to the devil, and I don't like talking to him, but I will for the purpose of example. It's like saying to the devil, come on in, put in a room in my house, set up a bed over here. That's what it's like. I don't want that. We were talking before church, and I love what Bill Johnson says about the devil. He goes, I don't talk to the devil. I try not to even give him very much attention. I just look at him long enough to get him in my crosshairs, and then I fire, and then I go on my way. That's it. You know? Anger gives the devil room in your life. Okay. Verse 29. Already 11:30. Man. Okay. I won't take long. Verse 29. When you talk. Oh, this one's hard. When you talk, don't say anything bad, but say the good things that people need, whatever will help them grow stronger. You see, I think when he was saying, don't lie, tell the truth, don't steal, you work with your hands, he was not saying something bad. He was saying, this is going to help you be stronger. Then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear you. And don't make the Holy Spirit sad. And then he goes on to tell us how we can make the Holy Spirit sad. For after he says, God gave you his Spirit as proof that you belong to him. You are your best self in him. And that he will keep you safe until the day he makes you free. Here's how we make the Holy Spirit sad. Never be bitter, angry, or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. I know, right? That's tough. Yeah, he did talk about anger a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't really, if I'm being totally honest with you, I don't really understand what he means by making the Holy Spirit sad. I don't think it says the Holy Spirit's going to leave you and never come back. I don't think that's what it means. But it's almost like when we make the Holy Spirit sad, it's harder to partner with the Holy Spirit in our moment by moment, day by day. Not because he's pulled away, but if you've hurt someone, I notice this with my kids all the time. When they would disobey when they were little, when they would disobey or when they would do something hurtful to me or to each other, I wouldn't pull away from them, but they would pull away from me invariably, without fail. They would be like, and I'm like, I would try to get closer and they would pull away. They would pull away. Why? Because I believe God gave us his Spirit inside to help us know when we mess up. Not so we can feel guilty or mad or whatever, so that we can make it right. So that we can make it right. That's all. So points 8 and 9, say good things that people need. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. It's interesting. If you're on Facebook, you notice I posted a verse from Hebrews that talks about that maturity in the faith is not about how many verses you've memorized. It's not about how well you can find the book of Ruth. It's not about how much Hebrew or Greek you know. That's not a sign of spiritual maturity. Instead, it's about knowing how to live right and doing it. That's spiritual maturity. That's why I said this is not milk toast. This is a steak today. Because when you start growing in the faith, or as we continue to, I believe we're ever growing in the faith. As we grow in the faith, we should be able to digest the truth in a way that it starts to be lived out in our mouth and in our thoughts and in our heart and in our actions. It's about knowing the difference between right and wrong. You know, I don't talk about voting much, right? I'm not going to tell you how to vote today. I don't do that. But I will say that when you go to the polls on Tuesday, don't lay your own opinions on the ballot. Lay what God says on the ballot and vote according to that. Wow, that's all. That's all. Now, I'm not going to ask you how you voted. I'm not. Because everybody, the problem is sometimes I understand it, that this ballot initiative or whatever is according to the word in this way, and this one is according to the word in this way. So I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not. I feel strongly about that. And you know, I don't invite the talk of politics among us. I don't. But I have a problem with myself when I look at an initiative and I try to figure out what I think is best instead of what God says about it. And I try my best to follow his path. I don't always succeed, but I try to follow his path. Because to me, this is steak again, this is not milk. For me, surrendering and following Jesus is about choosing his way, not mine. And if you think you know it all, you're probably wrong. If you think, amen, 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 amen. If you take this message and you try to apply it to someone else, you have missed the entire point of the message. But if you take this message and say, God, teach me what I need to know, I'm doing the same. I am not looking at you and going, you need to figure this out. No, I'm not. I'm telling you what God has spoken to me from his word, and I'm telling you I'm trying to sort it out in my heart and in my spirit. That's what I'm telling you. Be the new person. Just choose to be the new person. See why I said this will be hard today? It's hard to practice this stuff. And I think that's why he ended with the last verse of the chapter. Be kind to each other. Be loving to each other. And forgive each other. Because as we're all sorting it out and trying to figure out what this life of faith looks like, we're gonna blow it sometimes. And probably the people who know we blow it best are the people we spend the most time with in this circle right here. And so we have to be kind and be loving and forgive each other. But we practice it. We practice it. And then sometimes we mess up and then we practice some more. That's what we do. I believe as we get ready to transition into a new location, I don't know, I have every confidence in you because you're so good at a lot of what I've said today. You're so good at it. I've seen it over the years and I've seen it through election cycles and I've seen it through COVID and you're so good at being kind to each other and loving each other more often than not. And there's forgiveness when there's not, right? But I believe when we go into the new location, we're going to need it more than ever. Because I believe God's going to send some new people to us. And we need to know how to be kind, how to be loving, how to forgive each other, and how to keep encouraging each other along in the new faith, in the faith of being the new person. I think that's what we need. I ask you to forgive me if I've hurt you today. Know that it comes from a mother's heart of love. It does. I loved my kids enough to say, don't put your finger in that socket. You're going to get hurt. Here, do this instead. It comes from a heart of love. It does not come from a heart of judgment. Truly, it does not. God, I pray that you would take this steak that we've opened from Ephesians today. Ooh, and help us to digest it according to your spirit. God, I pray that we would shake off any offense that's trying to attach itself to us. I know sometimes I get offended, Lord, when I'm convicted. And so I pray that you would break off the offense. But God, if I need convicting in any area, convict away, because I want to be the new person you've created me to be. Oh, we want to do one another the way you intended. We want to show people who are not believers what one another is supposed to look like. Being kind, being loving, being forgiving. So help us to practice your way. And God, I thank you for those who are giving in the offering today. I pray a blessing on it, Lord. I pray that you would multiply it for your purposes. God, you know the expenses that are needed in going to a new location. And I just pray that you would provide more than enough for our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So next week, praying that David's feeling better, he'll bring love one another. He'll soften this all up a little bit, which is good. Which is good. We need that. We need both. We really do need both. And also, I told you we'll have a walking tour and prayer over the new facility next week. If you want to join us, we would love to have you do that. Thanks for coming. I love you. I love you. I love you. The end.